for the word that was read to us. Let's pray and ask God to help us as we spend some time. Lord, we pray, Lord, as we look at your word, we pray that speak to us, O God, reveal yourself to us as we hear your word. We thank you once again, O God, that we can come and worship you as a church, Father, and then experience your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you realize, I think the past few weeks, we have been asking this question, right? The questions that Jesus asked. I think it's not that Jesus was not aware of the answers, but I think Jesus wanted them to search, right? Get them into some kind of thoughts and all that. And so today's question is, how many loaves do you have? Mark chapter 6, another passage that was just read to us. You might have heard this illustration about, you know, the African impala. You know, the African impala is a very powerful animal, and I think if you look at it, you know, it can jump over 10 feet. Can you imagine? Just high jump. It's a great high jumper. Just jumping over 10 feet at a distance, right? It can go at a distance of 30 feet. That's so powerful animal, right? But very interestingly, when you go to the zoo, this giant or powerful impala, it's actually kept in an enclosed area. You know, the enclosed area is only 3 feet. They can jump 10 feet. Can you imagine? But when you go to the zoo, it is enclosed in just 3 feet, and they will not jump. You know, because the giant impala's problem is unless they see where their foot is going to land, they will not jump. Unless they know, this is the place I'm going to land. This is the place I'm going to, you know, finally come. Unless they know, you know, they will not jump. You know, because yeah, the 3 feet, they can't see. They do not know where. If I jump, where am I going to land? It might be a valley, it might be a cliff or a desert. They do not know. Until they know, they will not jump. You know, sometimes when we look at our lives are like that, right? We want to know, right? We want to know. If you're inviting me, I want to know where you're inviting me. If you want me to go there, I want to know what's going to happen in that particular place. We want information. We want to make sure things are safe. Nothing is against me, right? We want to know. We want information. You go to a restaurant, what do? You Google, you find out the reviews, right? You see what people are ordering. The food is good? Is it hygiene? The service is good? And, you know, whatnot. If, you know, by the way, I also do that, right? So if you look at the reviews, wow, number of reviews. And so you realize that's a good place to patronize. And so what happens? You go and patronize. If the reviews are not there, and you don't see, you know, the number of reviews that needs to be there. If it's not there, what do? You don't. Because we don't want to adventure, right? And so, the passage that we just read today, it's something like a crossroad. Can you imagine? These disciples were tired after a long ministry. It says in Mark chapter 6, they went out. They did what Jesus told them to do. They taught. They were tired. At the same time, if you look at the situation very carefully, you know, John the Baptist's head was beheaded. What a sad situation. A person who has, you know, loved the Lord, his life has been taken away, beheaded, right? The situation is bad, and on top of that, you know, they're physically tired. They went out, they thought, and they came back and to Jesus. And when they came back to Jesus, you know, Jesus said, you know, what did Jesus say? You know, I think you guys need some rest, right? Jesus was aware of what was happening in the situation, and he said, so let's go, right, to a quieter place and have a rest. And so that's how they made a trip. When they came to the other side, what happened, right? They realized the crowd was already there before, you know, they could go. You know, for a moment, I was just trying to imagine. How would these disciples, you know, what was just going on in the minds of the disciples? When they saw the crowd, you know, they were so excited, you know, finally, you know, we are going to have a rest. We did a lot of work for the Lord. And so Jesus said, you know, he's going to give us some kind of a rest. So he brought them. And for a moment I was thinking, you know, Peter would have looked at Jesus and said, no, not maybe he would have just looked at Jesus, by his eyes he would have been communicating to Jesus, Lord, it's time for you to tell them go back, right? Because we need a rest. We are tired. We need a break, right? We need to take time off from all these things. But the passage tells us very clearly, Jesus had compassion for them. So what happened to the break? What happened to the break that Jesus promised to them? What happened to the rest that Jesus said, you know, I'm going to give you rest. Let's go to this quiet place. Is God not faithful in his promise? Did Jesus forget the word that he gave to his disciples, that I'm going to give you rest, and he totally forgot? He was sidetracked because he saw the crowd. I don't think so, my friend. I think Jesus was teaching them a much more greater lesson. It's not just only about feeding. But from this incident, Jesus is teaching not only the disciples, but also to us about greater things. Because if you realize, you know, we are like sheep, right? We are very short-sighted. We can't see really far, right? But Jesus is teaching us much more greater lesson from this particular passage. Let's look at the passage in Mark chapter 6, verse 30 onwards. It says, the apostles gathered, right, and they began to report to Jesus what they have done and taught. So in other words, they have been doing a lot of things. Probably they were casting out demons, right, healing the sick, and then they were teaching God's word. And probably, you know, they were so excited what was happening. At the same time, they were also tired. And many were coming, people were coming and going, that they did not even have rest. And so they were tired, but Jesus said, let's come. And so in verse 34, it says, when they landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. But, you know, as I said, Peter would have, you know, jumped to Jesus and said, you know, Jesus, what's happening? We need a break, right? You have taught them sufficient. Send them back. Probably John might be just looking at Jesus with a very faint, you know, smile, you know, Lord, please, you know, something like that. But Jesus is teaching them an important lesson. It says, right, that ministry demands sacrifice. The ministry demands sacrifice. Jesus is also tired, is equally tired. I believe he was also preaching much more, teaching much more than the disciples, right? Healing people who were sick, he was much more tired because he was 100% man at that point of time and also God. But then it tells us that ministry demands sacrifice, my friend. It demands sacrifice. You know, what happens if someone comes to you and says, you know, I need your help. I need you to pray with me. I need some kind of advice. I need some kind of encouragement. You might say, I don't have that energy today. Come back next week. Or, you know, I'll see you next week. Someone says, you know, I'm in an urgent need. You know, I need to make some kind of decision. I need someone to listen to me, to what's happening in my life. I want someone to pray with me. You know, sometimes we know, we look at ourselves and, you know, what happens? We say, you know, break is not wrong, by the way. You know, it's not a sin to have a break. But you know what happens? I think one of the things is when you look at sin, sin is self-centeredness, right? It's always concerns about me. It's mine. It's my life. And so when you look at it, Jesus is teaching them, you know, ministry demands sacrifice. They didn't have the energy, but the Lord said, you know, we need to. And Jesus had compassion on them. Jesus looked at them with compassion, you know, and he started teaching to them. Yes, my friends, I think if someone calls you and needs your advice, it might be difficult. Maybe it's not the time. It might be the time that you want to have a dinner. If it's needy, you need to reach out. They need you. And Jesus said like that. And Martin Luther, the great reformer, said, you know, a religion that gives nothing, that costs nothing, and suffers nothing, is worth nothing, my friend. A religion that gives nothing and it costs nothing. Let me tell you, Christianity costs something. Discipleship costs something. It doesn't mean that I become a Christian, that's the end of the story. I can sit down, I can relax, I can just have a cruise in my life. Let me tell you, my friend, the Lord requires us. He requires our labor. He requires our ministry, right? He wants us to suffer for Him, as Paul said. You know, I gave my entire life for Christ. I was beaten for Christ. And that's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's worth suffering for Jesus. Even people might take my time away, but I'm just ready to give my life for Jesus. And that's why I think, never ever think that, you know, Christianity doesn't cost anything. It causes your time. And God wants a time. Right? It causes your talent. You know, God needs your talent. And that's why Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? Right? Just bring it to me. Secondly, we look at the passage. What happens, I think, when the disciples saw, I believe, you know, they saw the people as an hindrance, right? And that's why they say, Lord, send them away. Right? Send them away. They were looking at their time, right? Apple Watch. By the way, there was no Apple Watch in those days. And they were looking at the time and they were saying, Lord, it's time. Send them away, right? We need break. We need rest. We need to sit down and relax. We need to eat something. We need to take care of ourselves. Our needs are important. Our time is important. It's me. It's about mine. But I think what is happening here, Jesus is not only telling us ministry demands the sacrifice, but I think Jesus saw it as an opportunity. You know, just not an opportunity alone, but an opportunity for grace, my friend, to show God's grace and God's love. It's not just an opportunity, but, you know, we have opportunities for ministry. But do we see it as an opportunity for grace? And so the word says that when Jesus saw the large crowd, He had compassion on them. He was filled with love, right? He didn't see them, oh, come on, what can I do? No, He saw them with love. He saw them with opportunity for grace. And I'm going to show God's love to them. You know, I'm going to reveal God's, you know, grace to them, that they will too will experience God's grace. And so what happened? He saw them differently. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd, right? You know, it tells me about the compassionate nature of Jesus. Jesus was not judging them by looking at them as sheep. You know, He saw there was a need in the crowd. They were needy people, right? They were in need of God's love. They were in need to experience, you know, God's forgiveness. They need the teaching. And you know what it says? Jesus began teaching them. How many things? Many things. Come on, it's late at night. Pastor Vincent, cut short your sermon, right? And Jesus was teaching late at night. And He was teaching them many things because He knew they needed God's word. He knew that only the word of God can bring salvation in their life. Let me tell you, that's what people need today, my friend. They need to experience God's love. They need to know that there is a God who loves me so much that He cares for me. And Jesus began teaching them many things, many things. And Jesus saw it as an opportunity. You know, sometimes we take an opportunity, we share, you know, but do we share for grace? You know, that God has given me, you know, sometimes we, you know, certain ministries are given. I've done it, fine. By the way, I'm not talking about any one of you here. Right? I'm done. My duty is gone. But do we see it as an opportunity for grace? That's the difference, right? I'm done. Put me in the next 2 months or 3 months. No, no, no. It's an opportunity to show God's grace. It demands sacrifice. It demands your time. It demands labor, my friend. It demands you to, you know, maybe burn your midnight oil to prepare to engage in the lives of people. Let's look further. It also says that Jesus, and when I said Jesus meets them, I was talking about Jesus meeting their spiritual need. Right? He did not only see, He was teaching them because He realized that was the need of the people. right? And then he's actually teaching the disciples, right? He's teaching them something. He said, you know, you give them something to eat. Jesus could have also said, you know, fine, that's my problem, right? That's my responsibility, I'll take care. But Jesus wanted them to be involved in that opportunity of grace, my friend. He could have easily fed the 5,000 people without even two fish or five loaves, because he's a God who creates from nothing. The world was created out of nothing. He's able, and nothing is impossible in the sight of God. Jesus does not need Peter. He doesn't need John, my friend. But he teaches the disciples by saying, you know, I want you to be involved in this opportunity of grace. So what do you have? Bring it to me. Bring it to me. Right? Jesus always wants us to be involved in the ministry, my friend, to partner with him. Right? He can speak to the hearts and minds of people without you sharing God's word. He's able to do that. But he needs you. He wants us to be involved with this opportunity. And he says, no, you give them something to eat. You know, when I was reading this particular phrase, I was asking myself, was Jesus trying to joke? Was he sarcastic? Was he trying to ridicule them and make fun of them? Because he knew these guys are not able? I don't think so. Right? He had compassion for the disciples. He was teaching them a greater lesson, that ministry demands sacrifice. Right? At the same time, it's an opportunity not just to minister, but to minister with grace, with love. And so he said, give them something to eat. And so, my friends, I believe God is also telling us, right? Give them something to eat. And what happened? Right? And so when I look at this, it says the disciples are called to do things beyond your capability. Jesus knew very well that they cannot. He knew they are not able. They don't have the means. Right? They are tired, guys. They are tired after a long work. But Jesus wants to stretch us, my friend. Let me tell you. Many a times what happens, we allow God to use us. Lord, use me only this. But the Lord says, no, I want to use you much more, greater. We avail ourselves by saying, Lord, this is only me. But the Lord says, no, I want to use you further, greater, right? I think disciples, let me tell you, God, that's why we always say God has a greater plan in our lives. He has greater plans for our life, because I think he knows that he is able to use us with his strength, with his guidance, you know, with his help in our lives. Lastly, let me finish with the third thing. When I look at it, you know, Jesus is our rest. In other words, he says, you know, how many loaves do you have? Right? And so they came to Jesus, and they gave Jesus, and they gave him the five loaves and two fish. You know, when I was trying to read into the passage, I was asking myself, what was the reaction of Jesus? Maybe, you know, if I was at that particular situation, I might have said, you know, you're making fun of me, right? 5,000 people, excluding women and kids. You're bringing the five loaves and two fish and saying, do something with this. Are you making fun of me? Jesus could have actually thought like that, my friend. He could have rebuked Peter by saying, get behind me, Satan. What are you trying to do? Right? He could have looked at John and stared at him and said, you know, what are you guys trying to do? But it says that Jesus received it. When I look at the entire, this particular verses very carefully, you know, I see the God is so calm. Right? He says, go and see. He takes the five loaves and two fish. And what happens in verse 39? He directs the people to sit down. See the calm, the compassionate Jesus, the Jesus God who gives us that peace. See the peace in him. He directs the people to have all the people sit down in rows, right? He could have rushed things. No. In our language, Jesus is so cool, right? It's so cool what's happening. He asked them to sit down. And they sat down in rows of hundreds and 50. He made sure that people are sitting. And I'm not going to tell you what's the significance of 150. That's a different message altogether. And then he taking the loaves, right? He gives thanks to God. You know, can you see? He's thanking God for the 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed that 5,000 people. Can you imagine? He's not telling, Lord, you change this bread. I do not know what to do with this, Lord. Lord, you need to do something. I need you to rain something from heaven. It says, you know, Jesus is so peaceful. He just gives thanks to God and says, Lord, I thank you that you have given me these 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed the 5,000. And he broke the loaves. And he could have easily told the disciples, you sit down, right? I will serve. But he did not. It says he gave to the disciples and asked them to distribute. He wanted the disciples to be part of this ministry, to partner with him. Right? Even though they were complaining, it's too late, right? Send them away, right? We don't have the means, we don't have the resources, we don't have the finances. If we use, everything will be gone, but Jesus is still using them. These people were just probably making a lot of noise, you know, they were staring, they were unhappy, their faces were not so happy, but even then, you know, Jesus is teaching them, right, and using them in this ministry, my friend. And let me tell you, when I looked at it, particular passage, I also realized that Jesus is teaching them about rest. Why do people get burnout, right? Many a times we say people get burnout because of the work. No, it's not because of work. People get burnout because of the worries in their heart, my friend. All of us are able to do many things, but you know why people have burnout? Because worries have actually occupied our heart. Too much of worries. And that was their worry. Right? How can we do this? We cannot do this. We need time. We don't have the means. You know, they were having a burnout because of the worries. And Jesus is teaching them, you just give it to me what you have. It might be 5 loaves, it might be 2 fish, it might be 3 loaves, whatever it is, you just give it to me, right? You can trust me, you can lean on to me, and I know what to do. And Christ is in control of everything, my friend. I think even today, what's happening, I think, you know, we go through some difficulties in our life. We carry so much of burden. The Lord says, you just give yourself to me. Whatever you have, whatever your strength, right? And say, Lord, you just take. This is what I have, Lord, right? And let me tell you, he will take care of it. When we fully give ourselves to God, you know, God takes care. Couple of verses I'll just share with you. Psalm 62 verse 5, you know, the psalmist writer says, yes, my soul, find rest in God. My soul, my hope comes from God. He talks to his soul and says, have rest in God, because the psalmist is very troubled, my friend. He says, you know, just rest in God. What are your worries? What are your challenges? I know sometimes we want to do certain things, but we are worried, do I have the means? Do I have the capability? Am I able? The Lord says, you just rest in me. You just give yourself to me. Right? Trust me. Hope. And that's why Jesus said very, you know, very clearly, the very familiar verse, right? He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So the Lord is wonderful, right? He's inviting us. He says, come. Come. Right? All who labor and are heavy laden. It means, in the Greek text, it means, you know, person who labor, work hard, right? As they continue with their journey, their work, their labor becomes heavy laden. So when I'm carrying something, what happens when I'm carrying something as I walk a mile? That becomes a heavy laden in me. And so whatever you are carrying, you know, the Lord says, hey, just come, come to me. In other words, just unload your heavy laden on me, or burden on me, and I will give you rest. And so, my friend, today, I think when we look at the world, it's a very needy world. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people, there's a crowd out there, you know, they need the gospel. They need Christ. And the Lord wants us. It might take some of your time, right? Maybe you need to sacrifice certain hours of your week, but the Lord says, you know, I want you to be involved. I want you to be involved. So ministry calls for sacrifice, right? And so God needs us in this ministry. Your friend, they need your time. They need someone to pray, someone to encourage, right? Someone to be there. They need. Let me tell you, I think that's what God wants, the world needs. And today, sometimes you're bothered because, you know, we need time. Lord, I don't have the energy. The Lord says, you just, whatever you have, whoever you are, with your limitations, if you're willing to say, Lord, you take control of my life, I am just, the Lord says, I will use you. I will use you. And so today, back to this question, how many loaves do you have, my friends? What do you have today? The Lord is able to multiply, right? Provided we avail ourselves and give it to Him. You know, as a church, we are going to have a barbecue next month and also a time of prayer. We don't want it to be another event because we don't want to fill up our calendar by saying, you know, we did it, you know, so thank God, praise God. No, nothing of that sort, my friend. Maybe this is what we have, right? We are not a big church, and this is what we have, and this is what we know, Lord, and this is what we can do, and we want to do, Lord. And let me tell you, when we give ourselves to God, the Lord will answer not only our prayers, but Christ is the answer to the problems of this world. I'm going to ask John to play that last, I'm not going to pray, I just want you to hear the song, listen to the song, you know, because the reason I think the song reminds us, I think all of us are important. The Lord wants our time, our talent, my friend, and then He wants to use us for His glory. And so make yourself available, right? As the Isaiah said, here am I, send me, Lord. Not someone behind, not the one beside me, but I'm ready for you, right? Let's listen and just... Then after the song, I think Catherine will take over.
That you think you cannot climb. I know that your skies have been dark. You think the sun won't shine. In case you don't know, I'm here to tell you that the word of God is true. And everything that he's promised, I tell you he